Get ready. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host, for another episode. And also joining me is...
It's Maris the Witch again. I have Paul under the letter a little bit longer. You'll be all right, though.
Yes, I'm bringing Maris in as the semi-regular guest as co-host once more to round out technically Black History Month.
Melon March, actually.
Correct. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guests. It is episode 214 of the Weekly Cooldown, and it is March 8th. Maris, do you want to do headlines with me since you're semi...
Oh my gosh, I'm so honored, yes.
Guest as co-host. All right. So I'll take the first one, you take the one in the middle, and yeah, here we go.
Sounds good.
The next coming weeks, Discord will be launching a new feature known as Discord Quests. The new quest system will reward users for streaming games using the platform. In a blog post, Discord said that the new feature was spawned specifically to help struggling developers, quote, break through and bring their ideas to life as a successful business. Discord tested this feature with Epic last year and gave users who streamed Fortnite for at least 15 minutes an exclusive Star Wars themed weapon skin. Discord has also said that it will work to create profile effects and avatar decoration from developers who partner with Discord as well.
All right, then. Well, on to the next one. Overwatch 2 is having another anime collaboration. Last year, Overwatch began these crossover events offering skins from One Punch Man and for certain Overwatch characters. This year, in addition to having access to some soundtrack, players will also see legendary skins for Cassidy, Ashe, Maga, Sombra, and Wrecking Ball. The Wrecking Ball skin, which resembles Aim, is unlockable for free, while the others are through paid methods. These skins will be hitting Overwatch on March 12th.
That's correct. And I forgot to write in this that the skins are all coming from a very popular and favored anime, Cowboy Bebop.
Worm?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And finally, Stardew Valley version 1.6 is coming very soon. For PC players, this means in addition to new festivals, new late game content, new farm types, and so much more, it also means that PC players will have access to and support for 8-player multiplayer. Eric Barone, or Concerned Ape as he is better known, said that the players should be trying to start up a new file to experience everything in its new context, but also said that there will be no changes to older save files, and any information or progress will be safe and not deleted.
So when are we playing Stardew Valley?
So that's a good question, because specifically Royal Leonite was very excited about this. Who I stream with every other Friday. We do a little bit of Stardew Valley and we have our own farm. We're two gay farmers. It's really cute. But March 19th is when this is set to occur. So we're hoping that we can get through our first year, because he's never finished a year in Stardew Valley. So we're hoping we can finish through our first year, and then maybe we'll
start up
a new farm and invite six other people.
Yeah. Seven gay farmers.
Yeah. Yeah, who would have thunk? Of course, those are just some of the headlines from this week. If you think we missed out on any, or if there's anything else you'd like to talk about, you can always find me at Common Jace Gaming on Twitter and WK Cooldown on Twitter as well, and Blue Sky.
Oh my goodness, yippee. I like the Discord one, though, actually. I didn't realize they were doing that with Fortnite. Like, indie games definitely do benefit from having like those multiple platforms. Mm-hmm. Stream on Discord is fairly popular. People don't seem to realize that, though.
Right.
But it's only among friends. So like being able to promote within Discord and then having people play your game just because, oh, look curious.
That's right. Cool. I feel conflicted about that. Simply because it seems like, I mean, Discord's been doing this for a while, but it seems like Discord is really pushing monetization on like every level, right? And where it seems like this could be a quirky thing designed to help you engage more with your friends, it instead spawned out of how do we make our partnerships with these game companies more fruitful, profitable. And so it's nice, it's fun, and it's cute, and it's quirky, but it's also like the almighty dollar is lurking behind, like with the puppet strings, right?
Yeah, there's this level of just being like kind of insidious where you're like, how far are you gonna go in this direction? Right.
I like the idea. I think it's really cool, and given that I know a bunch of people who already stream their games like nonstop in several other Discord servers.
Yeah.
It seems like a nice way to make sure that, you know, it's not time wasted. Not that it was before, but that you're getting a little extra incentive out of it.
Right.
But again, framing it from the idea that it's more about the developers and making sure that they get their money, especially because we have no idea who the partners are, who's, you know, getting the most out of it.
Like a small indie game dev epic, like...
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
If we were like, you know, the Cult of the Lamb people wanting to get in on this really bad, like, I get that. That sounds like fine. That sounds cool.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
But if we're gonna be out here like Street Fighter needs your help, stream their game. Right. Like, no.
Supercell. Like,
no. Bestie. Absolutely. Right. So it's, I don't know. It seems cool, but also I'm like, Discord, can we go back to when things were new and y'all were doing this because y'all liked it?
There's no going back.
I know.
They realize they have to make money to survive at this point.
I know. Capitalism. Maris, I know. Is here. Maris is here.
I'm here.
Maris is here. Maris, what have you been playing this week?
What was I playing this week? Oh my god, yesterday I went on a itch.io deep dive.
Oh.
And I grabbed about 4 or 5 Otome games.
That's
and
how
I've
it
been
works.
Going through them bit by bit. The other day I played this game called Diana's Flower Shop and I got eaten by a giant eaten flower.
Oh, that game. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to play a little bit of something else and we'll see what happens.
Interesting. A little bit of something else called?
Kid at the Back of the Class? I hope I'm saying that right.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's Kid at the Back. It's a demo, but it's another unstable guy falls in love with you and you deal with it.
Oh boy. Exciting stuff. We've all been there.
Oh, I know, right? I know.
Unstable guy.
Right.
Falling in love with me specifically.
Right. You get me. We're here. We're locked in.
I'm still stuck on Nightingale.
You haven't fun?
I'm enjoying being a little 1920s whatever boy.
I'm so glad. You know, I picked up Helldivers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And how's that going?
I don't hate it.
Are you democracying? Are you saving democracy?
So I'll be honest, y'all. I'm a bit of a revolutionist. A bit of a, you know.
I'm built.
You know, F the police type beat.
Sure.
So I don't say like, you know, for democracy or anything like that. But the gameplay is fun. The gameplay is very fun, very chaotic, very like in your face. Like, I'm running around, like, my friends are way high level. I'm running around chasing their fucking bootstraps, like, wait, boss, wait for me.
Right.
Like, it's entertaining. It's very entertaining.
I've always wanted a game like this, and now that it's out, I'm like the last one to play it.
Oh, trust me, I get it. Like, before people, like, started acting the way they do about it, I was like, okay, I'd try that. It's just like Deep Rock Galactic. Mm-hmm. And then I found like the vibe around the game and it just immediately made me upset. And I was like, I don't like that actually. I'm not a fan of like, I don't know what that vibe is called. satire, like, political satire.
Yeah, I love political satire. And the idea that the developers made it specifically to make fun of, like, fascist rhetoric makes me very happy. Because it's I am that kind of person. Right. But then you have to parse through the people who get the joke and the people who think it's real. And that is, that's annoying. That's annoying. I get it.
Ooh-wee.
I get it. But also, I'm like, everyone has their own little, like, Helldivers OCs.
And, that's the fun part.
They're, like, partially role-playing while they, like, die over and over.
They
I love
are.
It.
It's fantastic. So funny.
It's really fun.
You need to get some, like, voice actors on the game just so, like, you have a different voice every time you die and call a reinforcement.
I saw this one video where the, you know, the guy's like, how long have you been on the battlefield? And just before this other guy answers, he gets, like, sniped by an alien.
Oh, no!
And he's just like, no, he was just a boy! And it was so funny. It was so funny. I loved it. And I was like, I do need to get this game. This is gonna be why I get this game.
We have to play together.
Yes, yes, yes. It's going to be great. I'm very excited to eventually bite the bullet and pay, what, $35 for it?
Yeah, it's not that bad. Like
$36, something like that.
No, it's less than that.
I will do it. It will be done eventually.
Good.
At some
I'm point. Also excited for Peach Game.
Not ooh, to
mention Nintendo again, but like yeah. I'm waiting for that game to be dropped so I
Peach
can play it.
Peach Game. Princess Peach Showtime.
Like, she's I want to be the baddest bitch in the land.
Things. Yeah, 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 right. Princess Peach, not Daisy.
Right, sadly. I hope Daisy makes a cameo in the game, honestly.
Daisy needs her own game.
She does. It's about time.
Daisy needs her own game at this point. Like, there's no reason why she doesn't have at least one.
Right, I agree.
At least one.
I agree. Rosalina has a game.
Yeah.
Technically.
She does. Technically. Yeah, you're right. And they keep putting her in all the other ones now.
Right. Not that there's anything wrong with Rosalina. Like, I'm not shitting on Rosalina fans. I'm just saying, she has something.
Right.
So why can't Daisy have
give something?
Give something
to Daisy. Why? Because she ain't blonde?
Let's talk about it. Because, like, is it because she's brown-haired?
Is it because she's a brunette? Is it because she's loud?
Is she not feminine enough for you?
Is she?
Because she's very cunty to me. She looks very cunty to me.
I love Daisy. I think Daisy's great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
Oh, let her go save Luigi or something.
Maris, you were talking earlier about how you were streaming a game with a plant monster that you were in love with. Tell us about your streaming. What do you do? What do you stream? How do you do it?
What do you mean, what do I do? I turn on OBS, I cry a little bit, I have a mild panic attack, and then I hit go live.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. But, like, as far as that goes, I'm still, regrettably, VTuber. And regrettably. And it's fun. I have, like, a lot of projects that I'm working on. It feels like, with VTubing, I'm never done. I've never, like, at that point where I'm like, okay, my stream is perfect. I'm never there. Like, I make something, I make an asset, I make a model, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then, like, 3 weeks later, I'm like, I need something new.
Yeah, I see this happening with a lot of even PNG tubers who are like, you know, they've had one kind of model and then they've changed it and then they've changed it again, and, you know, they've had different artists work on it, and everyone loves, you know, the character.
Right.
But they seem to have some kind of idea in their mind for what the ideal look is. And
exactly. Chris is never satisfied.
Yeah. What's up, VTubers? You. The first one wasn't good
Hey,
enough.
VTubers. No, it's true. You know how many times you do know how many times I've, like, redesigned or, like, not redesigned, not, like, some massive things, but, like, changed my model, changed, like, how I'm streaming, changed my stream layout. Change everything. You come back next month, everything looks different. You're like, oh, you changed stuff. I'm like, yeah.
It's fine. I don't think streamers in general really know what they want until they have it.
Right.
I, having streamed now, like, pretty fairly consistently for 2 years. Mm-hmm. No, 1 year, I'd say.
Year and a half.
Have finally hit a point where I feel like I like how my stream looks. But over the past couple of days, I've been like, I want to change something. Something has to change. And it's like a... It's like a there. I don't know what it is. I don't know what needs to change. I do need some new emotes, that's for sure.
I love your emotes.
Thanks. But aside from like adding some new emotes or something like that, I'm like, I don't... something feels off. I just don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I get that.
And it feels like every streamer kind of goes through that.
Yeah, because you'll see somebody do something and you're like... Damn, I can do that.
Yeah, right. I can figure that out.
Well, I ain't get that. Why did I think... Well, like, when did I think of that? I didn't think of that. Damn.
Yeah.
And
then
2 weeks later, you have one.
Why didn't I think of that first is my...
Right.
My
ooh, that'd be... So, like, listen. I was talking to some other VTubers, right? And someone dropped this really, really fire TikTok idea.
Mm.
Like, just in the middle of our conversation. And I was like, bitch...
Yeah.
If it ain't come from your mouth, I would have taken that shit.
Right.
If we were, like, we're the only two in the call. So it's like, I can't steal it and then be like, man, I just heard about it from somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Because they're going to know it's me.
I just, I came up with this on my own.
Ugh, disgusting.
I don't know them.
We don't interact. We're not even mutuals.
I've never met them in my life.
But I told them to their face, I'm like, if I don't see you do this in the next 2 weeks, I'm doing it myself.
That's the right way to do it. That is absolutely the right way to do it.
If you let this idea flop and you just sit on it, I'm stealing the shit.
Exactly. It is an acknowledgement that you came up with the idea, but it is also like, I want it. And if you don't take it, I'm taking it.
Right. Right.
I will credit you later.
Right. I will totally credit you, like, after it's popped off.
Exactly. When I'm popular, you can have it.
Right. Like, man, y'all know it's a real good idea, but it wasn't me. Like, it wasn't all me. I don't got all this goodness. It was so-and-so's idea.
Exactly.
But, like, I ate that shit up.
But I implemented it. I did it. I made it work.
Oh, my goodness. Great. They got about a week, though.
I'll be looking out for it.
I seen nothing posted on their TikTok. So.
I'll be looking out for it. TikTok is going through some crazy stuff right now.
Ooh.
I'm getting notifications every 2-ish hours that the U.S. government is trying to shut that shit down. And I get it.
Keep trying.
Right. I get it. But TikTok, I don't know that you need to tell me this. Like,
right. What's that got to do with me?
Tell somebody else.
What do we do? Write to my senator again?
Yeah. Maybe. Again?
Again.
I'm not doing that again. You do that. You write to your senator, TikTok, if that is your
speaking life. Of TikTok.
Yeah,
what? Notice the change in the algorithm lately?
No.
Okay, so like TikTok is favoring longer videos now.
Yes. There was a talk about that recently where TikTok seems to be kind of like everyone's new TV, right? And maybe it's not 30-minute or hour-long shows, but it is at least 10-minute. Videos that people are enjoying more and more rather than quick 30-second to a minute snippets. And part of it comes from this one TikToker, I think her name is Risa Tisa, who detailed this really, really incredible story that we don't entirely know if it's true or not. 50 part
husband.
Yeah, her husband who was like an insane person or something like that. Right. And it was like a 50 part series. It was basically 8 hours long from start to finish. And people watch it. And she's gotten billions of views. And it kind of further proves that like people are really invested in these longer forms of stories, basically. And so it seems like TikTok is trying to encourage people to do 2-minute to or longer videos, except you still can't really stitch or what's the other thing people do? Reply or whatever to videos longer than a minute. And they do still encourage you to break up videos that are longer than a minute into separate videos.
Exactly.
So it's funky. It's really funky. You want
people to stay on the app. But I feel like they don't really get like the appeal behind the longer videos. It's not the length of the videos. It's the content.
Right.
So and it's like, babe, you're missing the point.
And not only that, but like breaking up the content is going to make me angrier personally. Like,
yes.
I don't want to switch. I hate cartoons. I don't want to like back into the person's profile and then go into the next one. Like, right. I just want it to play. I just
you
want
to show me part 7 on my go. For you page and then I have to go find part 1 through 6 on their profile. You make me
yeah.
sick.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't need that. TikTok figured it out. This wasn't even on our list. TikTok figured it out. We do have to take a quick break. When we get back to this show, we're going to talk about Rooster Teeth. We're going to talk about Apple versus Epic yet again. And we're going to talk a little bit about Capcom. So, It's all corporations. So,
pro day.
We are going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Must be on Mars. We were starting descent. Oh, Higa! Lichu! Are you there?
Chaka, a science fiction audio drama, season 2.
So I really am alone.
Back to what happened, prisoner.
You don't know what happened on Earth?
As you probably know, Mars broke contact with Tellus Jigov many sols ago.
Earth went silent the year I turned 8, and we haven't heard anything from there since.
I have better things to do than listen to these fairy tales.
Can you for one moment imagine that I am exactly what I tell you I am? What would it take for you to believe that?
If your story is a bit more plausible, that'd help.
Loyalty can stretch many ways. Seems like you're quite adept at keeping secrets yourself.
If needed, yes.
Chaka, Season 2. For more information, please visit y2kpod.com/Chaka. That's C-H-A-I-K-A.
I thought I wouldn't feel alone anymore once I got here, once I connected with some humans, but I feel more alone. I only had my mom and then Hyuga and Lichu, and I never questioned if I could trust them. It took me a while to consider them friends, but now I have no one.
Hello, welcome back to the show. So, news. News this week is, as I said, all corporate all the time. To start with, we are going to start with Rooster Teeth. After 21 years, Rooster Teeth is shutting its doors. Rooster Teeth is known for a bunch of productions, including the Halo parody, Red vs. Blue, and the animated series Ruby, and other gaming-adjacent content. Now, all of that content and more seems to be up for sale or potentially lost as Warner Brothers Discovery decided that Rooster Teeth wasn't bringing in the money. This is according to general manager at Rooster Teeth, Jordan Levin, who said, quote, "Rooster Teeth is shutting down due to challenges facing digital media resulting from fundamental shifts in consumer behavior and monetization across platforms, advertising, and patronage. Warner is looking into selling much of the previously mentioned IPs and also the Roost Podcast Network, which seems to be currently operating separately for the meantime."
That's it.
And amid all of the closures, this one feels
personal.
Yeah, in a way, right? Because it's almost like the end of an era.
Literally.
And
that's like our generation.
It's also the end of an era in a way that also recognizes that this was the beginning of a new one, right? Warner Brothers, or excuse me, Rooster Teeth has been out around now for 21 years. This year, it really seemed to be kicking off more podcasting, more Twitch streams, really gaining some kind of momentum there. So for this,
you realize they can't keep up. Is
yeah, right. And so for them to decide that now is the time to close the doors, shutter the whole production. It's kind of awful, right? I mean, again, it's almost like you were finding your stride. You were coming into a whole new being. Rooster Teeth may have been something different if it was given another year or two to really find itself in this kind of new economy. But instead, Warner Brothers is like, no, never mind.
Yeah, and I think that's really like a slight on Warner Brothers' side because like they just don't get it.
Right. Right.
Rooster Teeth, if given the funds and the leeway to do what they want, they'll pick it up.
Right.
They grew up on the internet. Like, they know what to do.
This also...
It just takes time.
This also smacks of a lot of the, negative decisions that Warner Brothers has been making lately. So, a lot of movie companies lately have been shelving projects as tax write-offs, right? These really... typically great things in the works, movies and other productions, and then instead of bringing it out, they shelve it so that they could obtain millions of dollars in tax write-offs. The most recent one is the Coyote versus Acme movie, which apparently was going to be very good, starred John Cena, Will Forte, and a whole bunch of other people.
That got shelved.
It got shelved. And there's a lot of people who saw like a screener of this and were like, why would you shelf this movie? It would have made whatever money that you would have lost in taxes, if any, right? Because we know corporations don't really pay that much in taxes to begin with. It is kind of the overarching theme for Warner Brothers right now to close down things for the sake of saving, like, literally $1 in the grand scheme of things.
It's just, it feels kind of like a kick in the... I feel bad for Jordan, honestly, overall. I feel bad for Jordan and everybody else working under Rooster Teeth because they've been doing this for as long as I've been alive, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
like, Red versus Blue is what I grew up on. So, to watch them, like, kind of fall under Warner Brothers and just get, like, kicked to the side is really sad.
Right, yeah. I feel bad for people like BlizzBear, has been mostly a Twitch streamer for as long as I knew him, but then, like, found kind of a place to be in Rooster Teeth and was, like, a really big part of that and was, like, almost like a force behind the kind of new era I was talking about, and now he's got this, like,
because, like I said, they pick up people who
Right, exactly, and now he's potentially going to be out of work or something, and I like
back into Twitch streaming,
right? And I like BlizzBear.
I mean, I'm sure he'll be okay. He has a following, but like it's hard to just get back into the same rhythm you were after going corpo and then coming back to just being indie.
Right.
Or freelance, whatever you want to call it.
And those inside gaming to Twitch TV Rooster's Teeth streams are maybe not going to be there anymore, and it's upsetting to me as someone who really enjoys watching.
It's upsetting me in my home.
Exactly. If you can't go to Rooster Teeth twitch.tv, where the hell can you go?
I hope they get to keep their their name.
Yeah.
There's a lot behind the name.
I'm hoping for a kind of... There's a studio that just shut down. I wish I could remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. But they basically said, like, our parent company can't keep us, so we're deciding to go into business for ourselves. We're taking the company.
Right, right. That's what I want.
Yeah,
for them.
We're taking the company. We're doing our own thing with it, and I'm hopeful that that can happen. Right, that's how Rooster Teeth kind of started, and maybe it needs to go back to that to ensure right. sort of survival.
At the end of the day, all they're going to do, like corporations, is just call people picky and say the consumer doesn't know what they right. want. And I'm like, they do.
Yeah.
They do.
You just can't.
They were doing fine before you interfered. Right. Like,
you, someone else said this, some other corporate asshole who was like, mm-hmm. you know, not only do they not know what they want, but the markets are always so volatile and, you know, things are always changing. And we need to be the ones to dictate what the consumer wants. And everyone was like, no. That doesn't seem right.
No, I don't think
that
so.
That doesn't seem like something you should say out loud.
right. It's giving very 90s villain.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of this going on right now, as we know, in kind yeah. of corporate video game land. And it's rough. It's really rough. Part of the reason why Paul can be here tonight is because, you know, he knows people at Rooster Teeth and in surrounding sectors who are affected by that. And it's hard when your friends are kind of like, you know, not knowing what's next.
There.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of more corpo gaming, mm-hmm. Apple is bringing its legal battle with Epic back to the light, sort of. If you recall, Epic and Apple have been engaged in legal fisticuffs since 2020, when Epic alleged that Apple's charging of up to 30% of commissions on in-app payments on iOS violated U.S. antitrust rules. The court basically ruled in favor of Epic after Apple banned Fortnite and other... Sorry, that's funny.
yeah.
and other Epic titles on the iOS store. Now, according to Epic, Apple has terminated Epic Games' developer account, which was previously approved to be on their App Store. As a result, some games will be removed from the Apple App Store. Apple said that Twitter post written by Tim Sweeney, CEO of Epic Games, in which he criticized the Digital Markets Act practice put in place by Apple, which would allow Epic to bring Fortnite and the Epic Games Store to Europe through Apple devices, was the reason for the removal. Epic Games says that this is a response to the win Epic received from the recently resolved lawsuit.
It's a lot.
This is petty.
It's petty.
Yes. This is messy.
So it's a lot to process. It was a lot to process for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still not even sure that I understand it or that I got that I wrote that.
It's just tea.
Right.
It's just very tea.
But
right
that's
now.
That's what this smacks of to me, right? Is that
right?
Apple cannot handle that. Epic wants to not only still use their product, so to speak.
Platform. Right.
But also that they don't want to pay for... Or rather, they don't want to be taxed, so to speak, through Apple.
By Apple.
For using, you know, the Epic Game Store or buying skins on Fortnite. And I guess what I have to say, partly, is that Epic is very interesting in their business model because mm-hmm. they already charge less to people who develop or put their products on the Epic Game Store than Steam does. So they're already ahead of the charge
right.
there. But also they're like, we don't want to pay this extra commission. we already provide a excellent service and product. We want to keep all of our money. To which Apple is like, no, you're in my city, basically, right? Like you're using my services.
Right.
And I get both sides of this. Apple wants their money because you're using their services. Epic wants to keep their money because they're Epic. They're already doing their thing. But it's like, right. how long are you going to drag this out, Apple? Like, you lost. Can you chill?
Just let it go.
It's fine.
But, like, what's wild to me is, like, doesn't Epic pay to have the iOS platform anyway?
I think that would be part of the partnership.
Like, isn't that part of the thing
I think
that Apple
have
does?
Have to have some of that happen. But I'm entirely unsure because...
It makes sense to me.
It seems like some developers, if you've ever seen those, like, really... crappy kind of like
Yeah, the smaller ones. The smaller ones, I would make sense to not charge them because...
The quote-unquote, you know, free games that
they have nothing to pay.
Right. Loaded with ads.
But if you are... Yeah, because, you know, you're showing ads. So the ads still come through the Apple server, so they get paid with that. But if you make enough money on a certain product through Apple, Apple does have or should have that right, I think, to charge you, like, you know, server fees in general. Because you are in a city, like, you're there, you're in their house eating their food, bringing your friends over, just pay them a little bit of rent. That makes sense,
you would think.
But what I do remember is that Apple was charging the consumer the extra fees, so it was coming out of the people's pockets, so it would look like Epic was just charging more through Apple. As opposed to, like, when you use... Because they're on every platform. When you use Android, like, I'm paying a couple dollars for something.
Right.
And I'll pay, like, $5 when I use Apple. So it's, like, it looks bad on them as opposed to just going straight to Epic and getting it from the source.
Right.
I think that was part of the issue, but I might be wrong.
It could be. It could be.
I know Twitch does the same thing.
Right, yeah.
Like, they cost more on through an iOS device than it does through an Android device.
Right, right. It very well could be. I don't, I guess I don't fully remember that detail about it, but
they beefing.
They are indeed beefing. They are fighting. The girls are not okay. I am wondering how long, or if Epic has a rebuttal, you know what I mean? Cause they, if you look at the blog post that they put up about this, they saved like every email,
oh my not a tweet longer.
They literally made a tweet longer. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
They were were upset about this. Really, really, really upset. And
well, it's petty. Yeah.
I have to wonder if there's going to be more that comes of this, right? Epic has already sued them once. Are they gonna sue them again?
I mean, why not?
At this point.
They have money.
At this point.
I don't think Apple realizes like how much Epic's got under their belt.
I think Apple outranks them in the money regard. But I think Epic is capable enough.
At this point, I don't think it's about the money.
Yeah.
I think it's about consumer trust.
I think Epic...
Like, they're about to drag them through.
Has a case, you know, to be like, we're trying to protect the consumers. And... You know, the U.S. government at least will try to pretend that they care and likely go for Epic in this case.
Like, if this is framed a certain way, this could hurt Apple's, like, it won't hurt, like, hardcore Apple fan people, but, like, it'll hurt their, not market value, what's the word I'm looking for?
Credibility? Credibility?
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for, credibility. It'll hurt their credibility a little bit, especially with, like, younger consumers. Because, like, if I walk up to, like, a 15-year-old, I'm like, hey, so, like, Apple and Epic are fighting. Whose side are you on? I'm not for sure they're going to say Apple. Right.
They may not.
It's a toss-up.
They may not care as much.
And the may not is going to be, like, kind of harsh on Apple. This is funny. It is
a little funny.
I like this. The girls are fighting. Girls are fighting. God, world star.
The world star is crazy.
What's a world star? It's world star.
For some fun and hopefully kinder news, in a world where video game layoffs and studio closures have become the norm, Capcom Japan has decided to go in the opposite direction and has announced that it is increasing its base starting salary and giving existing employees 5% raises. Employees are also being given opportunities to invest in Capcom and receive bonuses linked to the company's business performance. This is following the call from Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida for companies to raise salaries in order to fight inflation. Additionally, this also follows the raises handed out from Software in 2022 and Nintendo and Sega in 2023.
The bare minimum.
I think what this really illustrates to me is a difference in attack when it comes to inflation and changes in consumer, you know, the way consumers are reacting and all that stuff, right? Because the Western or United States way of doing things is to cut jobs and, you know, put people out on the street. But
exactly,
companies in Japan are saying, okay, so we're just going to give people raises and we're going to, you know, increase wages to keep up with inflation, you know, kind of balancing the scale, so to speak. And I like that better.
It just works. It makes sense. Right.
It keeps people working. It keeps your...
Things cost more. People should get paid.
It keeps your company going, you know, stronger. And assuming things level out eventually and inflation starts to fall, the rate of inflation starts to fall, your people have a little bit more money to feed into the economy, and everyone starts doing well.
Whoa.
Can you believe it?
Wow. That's amazing. Like, oh my gosh.
It seems like it is like some revolutionary idea, but it isn't.
It's really not.
And it's
like, there's not enough sand in the pot. Maybe we should put more sand in the pot.
Yeah.
So
right.
It stays balanced.
Some people are focusing on the wrong thing, which is that the amount in U.S. money that this would be. So Capcom Japan is in Osaka. The rate for starting pay is 235,000 yen per month, which is now increasing to 300,000 yen per month, which is about $2,000 a month here in the United States, and 24,000 per year. Now, that isn't a lot here.
Right.
That's plenty over there. assume anyway, right? If people are happy at 300,000 yen a month, which sounds like a lot to me, that should be fine. Now here, it would probably be something like, you know, 40,000 changing to 50,000 or something like that. Which roughly?
Wish I could see 50,000.
I don't know the average wages of the United States. I know what it's like in my area in New York State.
No, you're good.
45,000, I think, would be the lowest you could potentially live off of. But raising that to about 65-ish would be
that changed some lives.
Yes, right. And that's what it would have to be. If the United States, I think, were to implement something like this, right? The numbers are definitely going to look different. But that's not the thing to focus on. The thing to focus on is that a company has decided that instead of cutting its losses, it is going to boost its lowest and middle level workers.
Crazy. Imagine battening down the
hatches. Yeah, to boost their productivity and their economy. Funky.
Like, I'm not going to hype Japan too much because they have their own issues. Sure. But, like, how hard is it?
Exactly.
How hard is it? Is it difficult? I don't recall paying people more being difficult.
Yeah, right.
I don't recall that ever happening.
There was no indication in any reporting that anyone at the top was receiving any kind of pay increases.
Deduction or nothing.
Or deductions. So... you just do it.
We're not telling you. Ooh, these corpos stress me out.
Yeah, it's rough. But here we are. Congratulations to those at Capcom Japan. I hope. I hope.
I'm happy for you. Yeah, everything's well.
I hope things go well, and I hope the rest of the world follow suit.
Thank you for setting an example. I appreciate it.
Any last thoughts before we close out?
Child. I got a lot to say, but it ain't for the podcast.
Okay. Perfect. In that case, as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
Princess Peach Showtime, besties. Yeah. We're playing Princess Peach Showtime. I don't care what your orientation denomination is. you're playing Princess Peach Showtime when it drops.
That's correct.
Okay, cool. I'm glad you agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of us as a collective.
I'm going to recommend Nightingale, and here's why. I found out recently that Nightingale, in addition to having kind of a hub at the end of the game, toward the end game, where you can like gather up with other people and start like going out on little adventures, also has the ability to create what they call public realms, which means that if you and a few other people decide that they're going to use the same card combinations and open up a public realm, you can potentially run into other players while you're playing. And
what?
I think that is something I've been waiting for in any kind of pseudo-survival MMO situation. I don't know what technology Nightingale...
Cross people by accident?
Right, exactly. I don't know what kind of technology... In addition to partying up and everything, you can also do this, right? And I don't know what Nightingale is working with. I don't know what the studio figured out that the rest of y'all can't figure out there in developer world. But this is...
You shake
this is really cool to me.
It sounds
and,
cool.
And the idea that we don't have like a system for like a Fortnite PvE mode where you're just kind of map hopping and you can find other players through public, you know, servers or something like that.
Server systems are hard.
I know that for sure. Having played Final Fantasy 14 for the past 10 years. But I am finding it to be a delight playing this game. I find something new every time. Spiders are really scary, but it is really cool. It's really fun. Scorpions are also really scary, but it's really cool. I do hope people check it out. As much as people are playing Helldivers and talking about that, I want people to talk more about Nightingale. I think it's... I think it's a really, really good survival game, and I think people would really enjoy it if they took the chance to play it. So, please check it out. And finally, to finish off this episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet, and if you have anything else to plug.
You can find me on all social media platforms as Maris the Witch. That's Maris the Witch. I am on Twitch and I stream on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And that's around, 12 CST? Mm-hmm. Depends on how I'm feeling that day.
Right. Very good. All right. As always, you can find me at ComyGs Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the weekly cooldown as well on Twitter at WKCooldown. I'm out of practice. Leave me alone.
We're just a bunch of mumblers.
Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Instagram page. Visit wkcooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts as well, because it helps the show grow. There's an algorithm, and the algorithm says that if you go to Apple Podcasts, who I just lambasted earlier in the show, my show gets put above like Ro Jogan or whatever his name is. So just...
Right.
Just hit the 5-star button or 4. Anything below that, you're an enemy. Five. But hit the 5-star button and it helps me grow. It helps the show grow. I get record deals. Spotify pays me 2 cents.
Yes.
We love that for me. Be sure to check out the link. Sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And remember to support your favorite charities and support this show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian. Follow Corgian on Twitter at DoghouseCorgian, DoghouseCorgian, DoghouseCorgian on Twitter. And our intro music is done by Riki. Find Riki on Twitter at Dog_Noise, DoghUnderscore Noise. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace.
I'm Maris the Witch.
See you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.